O Lord, our Maker, Redeemer, and Comforter, we are assembled in your presence to hear your holy word. We pray you so to open our hearts by your Holy Spirit that through the preaching of your word, we may be taught to repent of our sins, to believe in Jesus in life and in death, and to grow day by day in grace and holiness. Hear us for Jesus' sake. Amen. Welcome to today's service in Jesus' name. This is the last Sunday of the Christian church year, also the last Sunday of end time, and we'll focus our attention on the glorious thought, especially comforting in these days and times, that Christ is the King who controls all things, will one day lead us, his people, his believers, into our heavenly home. In the meantime, will provide us with all we need for body and soul as we make our heavenward way. We pray the Spirit of God be poured out upon us as we worship our Savior God in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. We've come into the presence of God who created us to love and serve Him as His dear children, but we have disobeyed Him and deserve only His wrath and punishment. Therefore, let us confess our sins to Him and plead for His mercy. Merciful Father in heaven, I am altogether sinful from birth. In countless ways I have sinned against you and do not deserve to be called your child. But trusting in Jesus my Savior, I pray, have mercy on me according to your unfailing love. Cleanse me from my sin and take away my guilt. God, our Heavenly Father, has forgiven you all of your sins by the perfect life and innocent death of our Lord Jesus Christ. He has removed your guilt forever. You are his own dear child. May God grant us grace and strength to live according to his will. Amen. Lord, have mercy on us. Christ, have mercy on us. mercy on us. Glory to God, we give you thanks and praise of heavenly joy and peace on earth. We sing, we worship you, to you our hearts we raise. Lord God Almighty, Father, Heavenly King. Lord Jesus Christ, the Father's only Son, you bore for us the load of this world's sin. O Lamb of God, your glorious victory won, receive our prayer, grant us your peace within. Alone, O Christ, you only are the Lord, at God's right hand in majesty most high, who with the Spirit worshipped and adored, with all the heavenly host we glorify. Almighty and ever-living God, since you have given exceedingly great and precious promises to those who believe, grant us so perfectly and without all doubt to believe in your Son, Jesus Christ, that our faith in your sight may never be reproved. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. First of our scripture readings today is found recorded in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 20 to 28, that speaks about Christ on that last great day when he comes back to take his children home. Jesus having been the first fruits of those who sleep, he first, we later, eventually will be ascending to heaven with him on the last day when he will be granted, or he will turn over, the scripture says, his kingship over to his heavenly Father when he has completed the task of bringing his bride, the church, home. We read 1 Corinthians 15, 20 to 28, but Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. But since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead comes also through a man. And as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive, but each in his own turn. Christ the first fruits, and then when he comes, those who belong to him. Then the end will come when he hands over the kingdom to God the Father, after he has destroyed all dominion, authority, and power. For he must reign until he's put all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. For he has put everything under his feet. Now, when it says that everything has been put under him, it is clear that this does not include God himself, who put everything under Christ. When he has done this, then the Son himself will be made subject to him who put everything under him, so that God may be all in all. Here ends the first lesson. We read responsively from the 47th Psalm. Clap your hands, all you nations. How awesome is the Lord Most High. God reigns over the nations. God has ascended amid shouts of joy. Sing praises to God. Sing praises.
Sing praises to our King. Sing praises.
For God is the King of all the earth.
Sing to Him a song of praise.
Our next lesson from Matthew's Gospel is a small episode from the Passion history, where Jesus is taken by the soldiers out to the hill of Calvary, and where his claims of kingship were mocked as if they were not true. They did not seem to be true, and yet we know that the very things that Jesus took care of on the cross and laying down his life for our sins was the means by which he showed his greatness and his love for us all in defeating our enemies, sin, death, and hell. We read from Matthew 27, "And the governor's soldiers took Jesus into the praetorium and gathered the whole company of soldiers around him. They stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him, and then twisted together a crown of thorns and set it on his head. They put a staff in his right hand and knelt in front of him and mocked him. 'Hail, King of the Jews,' they said. They spit on him and took the staff and struck him on the head again and again. After they had mocked him, they took off the robe and put his own clothes on him. Then they led him away to crucify him." Here ends the second lesson. Blessed are they who hear the word of God and treasure it. Alleluia.
Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. These words are written that we may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia.
Let's confess our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Grace and peace be to you from God our Father and from His Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. God's word for consideration on this Sunday we find recorded in Ezekiel the prophet, chapter 34, selected verses. For this is what the sovereign Lord says, I myself will search for my sheep and look after them. As a shepherd looks after his scattered flock when he's with them, so will I look after my sheep. I will rescue them from all the places where they were scattered on a day of clouds and darkness. I will bring them out from the nations and gather them from the countries, and I will bring them into their own land. I will pasture them on the mountains of Israel, in the ravines, and in all the settlements in the land. I will tend them in a good pasture, and the mountain heights of Israel will be their grazing land. There they will lie down in good grazing land, and there they will feed in a rich pasture on the mountains of Israel. I myself will tend my sheep and have them lie down, declares the sovereign Lord. I will search for the lost and bring back the strays. I will bind up the injured and strengthen the weak, but the sleek and the strong I will destroy. I will shepherd the flock with justice. I will place over them one shepherd, my servant David, and he will tend them. He will tend them and be their shepherd. I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David will be prince among them. I, the Lord, have spoken. So far the text. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior, King, your fellow redeemed, the gospel lesson that I shared with you a few moments ago, we were reminded of the physical abuse and the emotional trauma that Jesus suffered for us on Good Friday as he set about to bring to completion the work of our salvation. And when you read the whole story of the Passion of Christ, something we can really tell that was at the center of the irritation of the enemies of Christ against him, that caused them to lash out in anger and eventually to crucify Jesus, was the teaching that he was their king. The governor Pontius Pilate put that notice, tacked it up over Jesus' head on the cross. This is Jesus, the King of the Jews. The Jewish leaders considered that to be a grievous, terrible insult. Not only had Jesus not turned out to be the kind of king for whom they were looking, that title branded them as being his loyal followers. And so, you know the story, how they demanded that Pilate change that writing, amend it so that it read, he claimed to be our king. And Pilate's answer, you'll also remember, he said, what I've written, I've written. It's rather ironic, isn't it, to think about how that announcement that Pilate placed over Jesus' head on the cross had been written long before in biblical prophecy. And that is the teaching that we celebrate on this last Sunday of the Christian church year, the joyful truth we confess that will never be changed or altered even a little, that Christ, the King, is our shepherd, who searches for the lost and straying sheep, who feeds them with a shepherd's care, and who finally brings his sheep home. Now, Ezekiel the one who wrote this text. He was one of those who also lived back in the days of the Babylonian captivity. He was among the Jewish youths who, along with Daniel and many other inhabitants of Judah, about the year 600 BC, was deported into that foreign land. And it was at this time that God called and commissioned Ezekiel to preach his word to the people of God who were still living back in the land of Palestine, those not yet deported, to warn them about the impending complete destruction of Judah, that unless they repented of their wickedness and their idolatry and their foolish rejection of the Lord their God, he would cause them to be deported too, and Jerusalem laid completely waste. But then there were some other prophets who arose in the land of Judah at that time who contradicted Ezekiel's message. They claimed to have a vision from God, and they flattered the people by telling them, God won't allow Judah to be overrun. You'll never be deported. Your fellow countrymen already in Babylon, they're going to be set free very soon. Don't listen to that doomsday preacher Ezekiel and what he's telling you. And in the course of time, as you know, according to Scripture's record, less than 20 years, it happened, what Ezekiel prophesied. The Lord allowed King Nebuchadnezzar to finish off Judah completely and haul off the remaining citizens as miserable slaves. And you can imagine how, when that happened, it was a source of bitter grief for the tiny remnant of believers who had to suffer along with the rest. Terribly disheartening for them to experience this tragedy. They were like forlorn sheep having no shepherd to guide them, to provide for them. Their sorry plight is pictured quite graphically if you've ever read Psalm 137, where the Lord said, or actually this is earlier on in Ezekiel, not in the psalm, which is coming up in a moment. In Psalm 34, their opening verses to the false prophets who were spreading all those lies, saying you shouldn't listen to Ezekiel, the Lord said to them, you have not strengthened the weak or healed the sick or bound up the injured. You've not brought back the strays or searched for the lost. You've ruled them harshly. My sheep are wandering all over the mountains and on every high hill. They were scattered over the whole earth, and no one searched for them or looked for them. The Lord speaking to those false prophets. And now that's the context of the words of our text later on in Ezekiel 34, where through his prophet, the Lord provided his people with words of great comfort and sweet hope, that tiny, beleaguered little group of the Lord's flock. As a shepherd looks after his scattered flock when he's with them, so will I look after my sheep. I'll rescue them from all the places where they were scattered in days of clouds and darkness. I'll search for the lost, bring back the strays, bind up the injured, strengthen the weak. I will shepherd the flock with justice and place over them one shepherd, my servant David, referring to Jesus, and he will tend them and be their shepherd. Well, the Lord was assuring his beleaguered people back in those days, I'm planning to come to your aid. I'm going to lead you back to Palestine, and I'm going to send you a true and caring shepherd. He's going to gather you into his flock by laying down his life for you, for your sins, and providing you with his gift of eternal life. Dear friends, the Lord would have us include ourselves in this picture as well. The Lord speaks these words to us also to perk up our spirits too as his people. We also are like, we certainly feel that way many times, like scattered sheep living in a foreign land. Many are the false voices, the contradictory voices in our time who proclaim the very opposite of what the Lord has revealed to us in his word. Many are the false teachings that are being peddled in society and even in the visible church as truth. Like what Jesus said later on, many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. What Paul wrote to Timothy, the time's going to come when men will not put up with sound doctrine, but instead to suit their own desires. They will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. And again, he wrote to Timothy, there's going to be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, without self-control, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. So we see how that's those predictions of Jesus and of his apostle Paul are happening. In the falling away from the truths of Holy Scripture, in the unraveling of the moral fabric of our society. And yet, and the Lord is speaking here to perk up our spirits in the midst of the spiritual waywardness and unfaithfulness and godlessness of our sin-torn world, our good shepherd searched for us and found us through our baptism, through the word of God that we have heard growing up and throughout our lives. He made us his own. He kept us as his own. And so here we are, as his gathered flock, praising him, seeking the wisdom that he gives us through his Holy Spirit-inspired word. Amazing evidence, is it not, of his loving reign and gracious providence as our shepherd king. Let's also note how the Lord highlights his faithful, ongoing shepherd care for us, his sheep, when he says through his servant Ezekiel, I will pasture my sheep on the mountains of Israel, in the ravines, and in all the settlements in the land. I'll tend them in good pasture, and the mountain heights of Israel will be their grazing land. There they will lie down in good grazing land, and they will feed in rich pasture on the mountains of Israel. Again, picture language. The Lord here promising through this picture language that in addition to bringing his people back to Babylon, to Palestine, he was going to provide for them in an ongoing way through their coming shepherd king Jesus. Even though at the time it appeared as though they were in an altogether hopeless state. Small flock, things looking so bleak. And here's that Psalm 137 I was thinking about earlier. The sadness that welled up in their heart that is pictured very graphically by the psalmist, where he wrote, by the rivers of Babylon, we sat and wept when we remembered Zion. There on the poplars, we hung up our harps. For there our captors asked for songs. Our tormentors demanded songs of joy, and they said, sing us one of the songs of Zion, taunting them. How can we sing the songs of the Lord while living in a foreign land? Psalm 137. In expressing that thought, it seemed like all was lost. How could anything good come from this terrible captivity? But the good news, the Lord's word through Ezekiel, was that it wasn't actually so, because the Lord had not abandoned them, and he was going to lead them home after 70 years and provide them, as mentioned, with a true shepherd, Christ the King, to acquire for them and to distribute to them all the things that they needed. Speaking of seeming lost causes, remember how things were indeed looking very bleak for the disciples on Good Friday when they witnessed their beloved master arrested and tried and convicted and killed. The one who created light from darkness and divided land from the sea in the beginning, treated like trash. The one who deserved the finest crown, the noblest scepter, the sincerest devotion, and the greatest loyalty, forced, quote unquote, to wear a crown of thorns and to carry a stick for a scepter, which they used to beat him over the head, mocked as a fake, treated as a vile malefactor. Yes, it did seem as though their trust in Christ had been misplaced and their cause hopelessly lost. But the truth which they came to know and discover was that in allowing himself to be maltreated, Jesus was actually showing them the greatest love and exhibiting the greatest power, defeating their mighty foes, sin, death, and Satan. And there was another fellow on Good Friday, the Roman centurion, who also discerned this, perceived beyond the outward suffering of that crucifixion victim hanging on the middle cross his inner greatness in the signs that came from heaven, the darkness and the earthquake, the calm demeanor of Jesus, his patient endurance of his enemies' heartless taunts, the tender words he heard Jesus speak to the penitent thief, "Today you'll be with me in paradise," his unfaltering trust in his heavenly Father. That centurion was led to the realization, truly, this was the Son of God, Christ the King. And so also today, yeah, things look kind of bleak, don't they, for Christ's church. The world we live in could be fittingly described as back in the days of Ezekiel, times of clouds and darkness, in the evils of our society, in the falling away from the visible church of many, in the stresses we encounter along life's path, including things like the COVID pandemic, in the sinful weaknesses that we detect in our lives from day to day that give us grief. We feel like scattered sheep living in a distant land, distant from the shelter of God's love. We also discern by faith what our eyes and senses cannot detect, that Christ, our mighty Shepherd King, is with us, satisfies our hunger with his bread of life, and quenches our thirst with the refreshing streams of his gospel water. He defends us by his word from our spiritual foes and provides for our every need of body and soul, so that with King David in Psalm 23, we can say, "I shall not want." Promise of Jesus is very precious. "Fear not, little flock. It is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." And speaking of that, dear friends, the kingdom, that's the crown jewel blessing, isn't it, of knowing Christ by faith as our Shepherd King. When God promised his people that he'd brought back or he would bring them back to their earthly homeland of Palestine and to the earthly city of Jerusalem, he was picturing something a lot more glorious than that, and that is that he would lead them to the heavenly Jerusalem finally above, to their heavenly homeland. You know, there's a rhyme and reason for the last Sunday of the church year being celebrated as Christ the King's Sunday. Not only this, that gives us the blessed assurance, reminds us that as we close the book on one church year and open the book on a new, that the same Savior is with us to be our staff and stay in the new year. But it's also our assurance that when the book is closed on history and the end comes, that Christ will be shown openly and publicly to be our almighty, all-merciful Lord who has destroyed death and has brought life and immortality to light for us, his believers, and then to invite us to enter into our true homeland. And that's when the sleek and the strong, that is, the unbelievers who think they're so strong they don't need a Savior, they don't need a shepherd, will be removed from the scene forever. And then will happen in the fullest sense what Ezekiel the prophet here says, I, the Lord, will place over them one shepherd, my servant David, referring to Jesus, and he'll tend us and be our shepherd. I, the Lord, will be your God, and my servant David will be prince among you, leading you to springs of living water and wiping away every tear from your eyes. So till then, let this be our earnest prayer as sheep of Christ the Shepherd King. Jesus, keep us joyful in you, our Shepherd King. Lead us to rejoice in the fulfillment of your plan for our salvation, in your coming here as a sacrifice for our sins and breaking the power of the evil one. Fill our hearts with your peace as we look with hope to the day when every creature in heaven and earth will acclaim you, King of Kings, to your unending praise and glory and our indescribable joy. Amen. And may the peace of God, which is able to protect you far more effectively than the human mind, guard your hearts and thoughts through Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. Let us pray. O God, Heavenly Father, our rock and fortress, our joy and salvation, in Jesus' name we give you thanks and praise. We thank you that you've called us to faith in your holy by your Holy Spirit, and that you've made us citizens of Christ's eternal kingdom. Graciously preserve us in this faith. Bring forth in us the fruits of righteousness by moving us to live our lives in your service. Work in us through your word so that everything that we do and say will be worthy of your gospel. Give us willingness, diligence, and obedience so that others may come to know you as our Lord and Savior through our Christian witness. We pray, O God, that we may always remember that the church is made up of all who trust alone in you for forgiveness, that your church is the body of Christ, and that He is its only head. Help us in whatever trials or troubles we may face to always be loyal to Him, steadfast in faith, and trusting in His word above all things. Be with us in all that we do, in our daily work, strengthen and counsel us, in our leisure, defend us, in our homes, shelter us, in our distress, shield us, in our sorrows, comfort us. May we run the race that is set before us with faith and courage so that we may obtain the crown of life. And stretch forth your hand over the nations of the earth, dear Lord. Rebuke the vain and proud. Free those who are enslaved. Defend those who are persecuted for Christ. And bless those who uphold the truth of your word, so that all may know that you alone are God, with none beside you. Preserve our own country from the corruption of the wicked, that we may not come under your judgment. Breathe your spirit upon our land, that statesmen may be honorable, business and labor leaders unselfish, scientists and educators God-fearing, and Christian leaders may be true in declaring your word. We ask you to look in mercy upon all the sick and any who are suffering in body, mind, or spirit. Be with them and heal them according to your love, your gracious goodwill, and their need. All these things we pray in the name that is above every name, Jesus Christ. Amen. And we also pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen.
Thank you.
Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
You may be seated for the last hymn.